here. Good morning, Sydney. Good to see you with us. Good to have all our visitors with us this morning. We are happy to be together as God's people. And isn't it wonderful when songs touch the heart? Especially when we think about the songs that speak of the Jesus who died on the cross for us. I'd like for you to take your Bibles. We're going to go right into the lesson because I smell food and I know some of you are hungry. So we'll not delay getting there. But if you would, please turn to Ephesians chapter 5. And you will notice as we start out in the chapter, verse 1, that the Apostle Paul says, "Therefore, be imitators of God as dear children." And so that is our goal, to be like God. And I know you're here, and I hope you're here for the reality of you want to become more and more like God so that you are prepared and fit to be in heaven. But then notice verse 2. How do we get there? And walk in love. Walk in love. Husbands love their wives. Wives love their husbands. And we love one another. But it all centers upon something that's very, very significant. And that is the love of the Almighty God. Walk in love as Christ also loved us and given Himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice for a sweet-smelling aroma. And as we continue to read in this chapter, we go down and he talks about husbands, wives, and their relationship. And then in verse 23, "For the husband is the head of the wife, and then as also Christ is the head of the church, and He is the Savior of the body. Therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything." Husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church, gave Himself for her. We go back to John 3:16, a verse most of us can quote because we learned it in Bible class, right? "For God so loved the world that He gave." What did He give us? His only begotten Son. There truly is what love is about. The willingness of an almighty God that could have reduced the world to rubble and dust in a moment. The God that loved the world so much, He was willing to send God in the flesh, the Son, as the sacrifice, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God's love gave you and I opportunity for heaven because He loved us so much. But then I want us to notice what we've just read again in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25. Christ also loved the church and gave Himself for it. Now, of course, we look at John 3:16. God loved the whole world, right? The big old world that He gave His Son. But that love was centered to a focus. That love was for the church. The church. God loved so much that He gave His only begotten Son. Christ also loved the church, gave Himself for it. We sang that song that was so emotional. Christ on the cross. What was He doing? He could have called 10,000 angels, but He didn't. He died there for you and I. What does that demonstrate for us? It demonstrates that great love that God had for the church. God's to love the world, but that love was extremely focused down to the church. And that is significant. Christ also loved the church. Gave Himself for it. What kind of church? Well, you look at verse 27. "That He might present her to Himself a glorious church, not having spot nor wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish." And the only way the church made up of us who are Christians can be holy and without blemish is because of what Christ did on that cross when He gave Himself to die so that we can enjoy the cleansing blood. He loved it so much that He died. And then if we go to 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 21, there's a significant statement made by Peter in that discussion. He says, "For this were you called, because Christ also suffered for us." And then look at these words, "leaving us an example." Christ went to the cross because He loved the church. And He left us that example. What does that mean for you and I? Well, how many of you have seen some of these bumper stickers? "I love the church." Can you say that this morning? You don't have to do it out loud. But can you say it from the heart? "I love the church." You know, oftentimes we think about the church as simply a building or a group of people that gather in some place on Sunday morning or maybe Sunday night, Wednesday, Tuesday, do what they do. But when we start thinking about the church as Christ viewed the church, that which is so important, that He was willing to die, showing the love that He had for those who make up the church, then we can truly stand and say, "I love the church." It's more than a bumper sticker that rests upon a vehicle. You might recall seeing this bumper sticker occasionally. "I love my church." Well, of course, it's important to recognize that we need to love the congregation where we go. Love the people within it, love the fellowship that we have, love the encouragement that we get, love the Bible class teachers and the teachers and the Bible studies that we have. All that is important. But it's significant to understand it was the church of our Lord's that He died for. Now, here we have some kids who are answering questions. We did this, last Sunday afternoon? Thank you, folks, for participating, and young people and all that work to make that successful. They're answering Bible questions because they love candy. If you've never known a kid that didn't somehow love candy, they're few and far between. I wish as a kid I didn't love candy, I'd probably look a little skinnier than I do right now because I enjoyed some of that candy that they loved. And so kids love candy, and this, of course, creates some real choices and challenges for them because then they have to decide which one they love the most. Is it going to be the Hershey plain chocolate or the one with nuts? Is it going to be the M&M's with peanuts or not? Is it going to be a Mars or a Milky Way? Or how about just good old candy corn? I don't remember who, but just the other day somebody says they love those little candy corns. Well, that's wonderful. But life presents its choices. And I want to ask you a question this morning. If I were to ask you, what do you love the most? What would you say? Now, some of you love your wives a lot, don't you? And I think Terry could put his arm around his beautiful wife over here, but he can't today because he's sore. It took all I could do, Terry, after running that chainsaw of yours, to put my arm around Kathy. And some of y'all noticed these gentlemen walking a little slower, didn't you? I asked Elvis how sore he was, and he just kind of looked at me at first. I think it was a hard job just to speak, wasn't it, brother? And boy, Bob is the young man, let me tell you. Is he sore today, Kay? Probably so. But it's a good sore, isn't it, Bob? And Bob was out there, and I didn't even talk about this, but I can almost assure you that Bob was out there. And tell me if I'm wrong, Bob, but you were out there because you love. You love the church. You love the people in the congregation. You love caring and sharing, just like all of you. At least I hope all of us. Because it is about love. It's about making the right choice. "I love the church" is significant. When some people say, "I love my church," they don't even really understand what they're saying. They don't understand that it was Jesus who built His church. "I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it." Colossians 1, verse 18, Paul writes and says, "He is the head," speaking of Christ, "of the body," the church. The church is significant because we don't own it. Christ owns it. I don't know what name's on the deed of this building, that's one thing, but I know who owns you, if you're a Christian. You're owned by Christ. He owns the church. The church, as you look at the original word in the New Testament, is a word that from the original language is ecclesia. It refers to that which is called out from or to. It's used significantly 114 times in the New Testament. That's significant. That word is a powerful word, and it's referring to those people who are called out of the world to God. They are the collective body that our Jesus went to the cross and He died for. Because He loves the church. We are a collective body of those who are owned by God. We are a purchased possession. And what did it cost for the church to be bought? It cost the blood of Jesus. And isn't it wonderful that we read in Acts chapter 2, verse 47, and the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. That gospel was preached, people responded, and then the Lord added those who responded in obedience and were baptized into Christ to that body, to the church, to that which Jesus died for, to that which Jesus hung on that cross. And so there is very significant that we can say, I love the church just as Christ, following His example. So much so that I am willing to sacrifice myself for that body. And truly, it's a wonderful body. But more significantly, it is a spiritual body. In Ephesians 5 and verse 30, we read, for we are members of the body of His flesh and of His bones. When you think about it, can we get any closer to Christ than that? He died. And we become a part of His body. We have a new relationship, a spiritual relationship. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 13, Paul writes this as he writes to those brethren at Corinth, for by one Spirit were you all baptized into one body. Whether Jews or Greek, whether slaves or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit. There's the cup we drink of, isn't it? The cup that enables us to understand relationship, the spiritual significance of that one body. And in Colossians 1, verse 18, He's head of the body, the church. Christ is our head. We don't have some earthly organization wherein we have a man appointed to sit above everybody else. No, we have Christ as our head. Ephesians 1, verse 22, what does the Scripture tell us? Paul says, if you look there, if you turn back just a little bit, put all things under His feet, speaking of Christ, gave Him to be head over all things to the church, which is His body. And then notice the last words, and sometimes we just let those words kind of flow out and drop. At least I do as a preacher. But those words are powerful. Which is His body, the fullness of Him who fills all in all. Wow. You see, it's really easy to love that which Christ loved. When you think about the spiritual significance of the body and how it relates to the Almighty God through Jesus Christ Himself, I found this graphic that one of the congregations of the Lord's body had on their website, and I loved it, and I wish I could blow it up and have the time to spend. And sometimes if you can just search for the God Spiritual House, the church, you'll find this. And it's quite a good graphic, because what it's illustrating is that the church is not the building. You know, a lot of folks do think about this building as being the church. It's not. As pretty and nice as this building is, as comfortable as it is, Christ didn't die for this building. He died for what's in it. He opened the door for a spiritual relationship with Himself. For His people, not His building. He said, upon this rock, I will build my church. What's the foundation? It's built on Christ. He's the chief cornerstone with the apostles and prophets, being those building blocks. And the church stands the foundation, or as a upon the foundation of Christ as truth exhibited to the world. And then the church, we are the living stones. That's 1 Peter 2, verse 5. And of course, access is made by Jesus. Jesus is that door. And it's not to the physical building, but to the spiritual relationship that we have in Christ. And because Jesus loved the church, it cost His blood. That's what John 3:16 is all about. God so loved the world that He gave His Son. What did that mean? It meant that Jesus would be the one who would go to the cross. The one who could have called 10,000 angels but didn't. He rather chose to hang there and let the blood drip from His body. That's why Paul would write to the or speak to the Ephesian elders in Acts 20 and tell them, therefore, take heed to yourselves and to the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers to shepherd or oversee the church. And notice it's the church of God which He purchased with His own blood. That's why they were given such a serious charge, because this is the body, the church that Christ purchased, that He loved so much that He was willing to let that blood drip from that cross. In Matthew 26, verse 28, for this is the blood, Jesus said, of the new covenant, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. The disciples, and when they walked early with Jesus, they didn't really understand the impact of what was going to happen when Jesus would go to that cross. In fact, you didn't see the disciples there by the cross, did you? Some others there. It mentions disciples Jesus loved. The disciples had a hard time understanding how it would be that Jesus would shed the blood. But He did so that He could cleanse it, make it pure, sanctify it, set it apart. So that it could be made up of God's children. 1 John 3, verse 1, one of my favorite verses. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us that we should be called the children of God. We are God's children. And the world doesn't know us. Therefore, the world does not know us because it did not know Him. Beloved, now we are the children of God. Sitting within the buildings of the church building is really what Jesus died for. The family, the children of God, those who have been washed clean and made white in the blood of the Lamb. And of course, this body is made up of many members according to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. For the body is one and has many members. And I like that. That's why I like to see the numbers on that board growing. That's why you and I can rejoice when someone's baptized into Christ, because that number is growing. Of course, numbers don't mean anything. It's the souls, right? They are the ones that Christ hung on that cross. They are the ones whom Christ shed His blood for. And I'm thankful that we read in Corinthians many members, because that tells us many respond to Jesus who died for them. And God composed the body, verse 24. And then He goes on in verse 27. Now you are the body of Christ and members individual. Individual members making up God's children. And we are in reality the very family of the Almighty. This month, many families are going to get together. I talked to some who are going all the way to South Carolina, right? Where John's family is going. I think Tiffany's looking forward to that. Going to be together with family. We've been invited to go to Hot Springs to be with our daughter and her husband's family. We gave Harry three options. Fly to Houston and spend time with Wanda and Jerry. And Jerry's sitting back there. So you might just grab him and take him. There you go, Jerry. Go with us to Hot Springs. Or go to the nursing home. I assure you, Brother Harry chose family. Family is important. One of the greatest things that happens in a congregation is when people gather together as family, and they're there because of it. They come together, of course, to worship God. They come together to sing and to be encouraged by the teaching and the prayers and the fellowship. But when you think about it, they consider it, I'm here because I'm coming to be with my family. It's going to be doing those things. They're motivated, as Terry talked about in class, from the heart to be a part of the family. And that family means something. How do we know it's a family? Well, Ephesians 2, verse 19, if you wanted to turn back there from chapter 5, very clearly, Paul says, now therefore you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the family of God. I hope this morning that you do truly feel a part of this congregation. And if not, I would really encourage you to do all that you can to be part. If you're here and you're not a Christian, then it's easy to be baptized. The water's ready. But you got to make the right choice. Knowing that Jesus died for you and that His blood cleanses you, then you are added to the body of the church of our Lord. You become a member of the family of the Almighty God. And then maybe as a Christian, you've kind of been sitting on the outskirts. You've not really wanted to be a part of the family, so to speak. Knowing you're a part of the family of God, but you've just not become family. And I know we're talking about the physical relationship in the sense that we're here, we greet, we care for one another. But that's a significant part because we as members are of the family of God. There's a song that I want to share with you that's entitled, We Are Family. And hopefully you can read the words. It's a little bit small, but I wanted to keep the picture on there because what you see here is family together from years gone by. And ladies, do you notice something here they're doing? It's an old tradition. Y'all see it? The men eat first, and the women and kids wait for the men to finish. Good news, we don't do that back here. So y'all stay for lunch. You'll have an equal part. In fact, I like the kids when they get up there and get first in line. I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. I've been washed in the fountain, cleansed by His blood, joint heirs with Jesus, and we travel this side. For I'm part of the family. You will notice we say brother and sister around here. It's because we're a family and these are so dear. When one has a heartache, we all share the tears and we rejoice in each victory in this family so dear. I'm so glad I'm part of the family of God. I've been washed in the fountain, cleansed by His blood. Join heirs with Jesus as we travel this sod, for I'm part of the family of God. From the door of an orphanage to the house of the King, no longer an outcast, a new song I sing. From rags unto riches, from the weak to the strong, I'm not worthy to be here, but I praise God I belong. Do you see that line? I'm not worthy. There's nothing Rick Bright or you could have done to put Jesus on a cross. That was done because God loved us. And who did He love? He loved sinners. We were not worthy. I could not have built a tower tall enough, a wall strong enough, or a city big enough to warrant Christ going to the cross. We couldn't even have cut enough wood to have paid for Jesus going to the cross. It just wouldn't have happened. He went to that cross because He loved. And who did He love? Love the church, the family of God. I'm not worthy to be here, but praise God, I belong. I am so glad I'm part of the family of God. I've been washed in the fountain, cleansed by His blood, joint heirs with Jesus as we travel this sod, for I'm part of the family of God. And then lastly, I want to share this with you before we close. We have a church we can love. Because it is our only way to heaven. You can't go to heaven without the church. I know there's people that try. But they're sadly mistaken. Look at what Jesus said in Matthew 16, verse 18. Thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell or Hades shall not prevail against it. What does that mean? Well, it's clear that Jesus was declaring that death has no power to hold God's people captive. Its gates are not strong enough to overpower and keep in prison the church of Christ. Do you hear that? When the church dies and falls asleep, we have the assurance that the stones that are put over the top of us are going away. I remember reading about this lady who was upset because when they buried her husband in the grave, like they do here in America, they put the stone right in the center of his belly, and she's afraid he couldn't lift it. Don't worry. The grave is not going to keep us there if we're a member of the church of our Lord. Do you see what this love is all about? Our Lord conquered death, the Bible tells us. And because death is no longer a master over Him, He assures us that it's not going to be a master over us. That stone sitting on our belly isn't going to keep us from heaven if we belong to the Almighty. Since therefore the children share in flesh and blood, Himself, Scripture says, partook of the same things, that through death He might destroy the one who has the power of death. That is the devil. Folks, that devil is not going to keep hold of His church. He's not going to keep us bound to the grave. And He won't keep us bound, destined to hell, if we're a part of the church of our Lord. Because we have the promise that Jesus provided the way. We're called out. We are the church which will prevail. Jesus says, because I live, you also will live. There's the promise for those that God so loved. Romans 6, verse 3, real quick. Do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ, were baptized into Jesus? Notice what He says. Those of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into His death. Therefore, we are buried with Him through baptism. Why is that significant? Therefore, we are buried with Him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. And then don't miss this. For if we have been united together in the likeness of His death, talking about baptism, certainly we also shall live in the likeness of His resurrection. What is it? We are a part of the church. That which Christ died for. That which He loves. The spiritual body of Christ. And the beauty of it is we have heaven to look forward to. That resurrection from the grave. To be with God forever. But in the meantime, isn't it wonderful? In the church, we're family. So this morning, the question is this. Are you a part of this great family where Christ is the head, where we are the body of the Christ? If not, we're going to stand. We're going to sing an invitation song. Up on the board is the plan. It's simple. If you don't understand it, we'd love to study with you. But if you do, and you need to become a member of that body of Christ, we would like to assist you this morning. The food will stay warm until we're done. And if you're here as a Christian and you've kind of been trying to stay on the outside and not really participate with the family, maybe it's time to be a part of the family of God. Socially, in the physical world, but as the spiritual body of Christ. If there's sin in your life and you need to make a change, I encourage you to do it. As we stand and sing, would you come?